Sound ready? Okay. Okay. Rabosai. I want to begin today by discussing halakhic issues raised by putting contact lenses in solution on Shabbos, at least as potentially relates to the melacha of melabing. This is something that I think was first addressed in the literature, or one of the first to address in the literature is Rabbi Reuben Orcha Shabbos, a relatively contemporary issue. In terms of the metzias that we're addressing, it looks like the overwhelming number of people that wear contact lenses nowadays wear soft lenses, or water-permeable lenses, as opposed to the old-fashioned hard lenses, which are referred to as gas-permeable lenses. How many people here wear contacts? Okay, anyone not wear soft contacts? Okay. And as I understand it, when you remove, how many wear disposables that you only wear one day at a time? Really? Doesn't work expensive, right?
Not that much.
Uh-huh. Okay. Does anyone wear the kind that you wear for a few days at a time or a week at a time? Really? So everyone's doing 24-hour ones? I'm sorry?
I think my wife does.
Uh-huh. So is that the most popular now? People wear disposables?
It's the most hygienic, I think.
No.
That may be true, but
it's the easiest. You just...
Right. Okay, so then maybe this is not as relevant as... I've never worn contacts. I can't speak to it. My 18-year-old started wearing contacts a couple years ago. Not every day, but I told him not to wear them on Shabbos, not to prejudge our conclusions. But he doesn't have the disposables. He has the kind that you wear a few days at a time, a week at a time, whatever it is. I'm not speaking from any personal knowledge, but from what I understand from the literature and those more knowledgeable than I am. But my understanding is that those who wear the non-disposable type that you wear for at least more than one day at a time, you have to put them in some kind of a solution when they're not in your eyes, number one, for the purpose of cleaning them, and number two, for the purpose of making sure that they don't shrivel up, because if you just leave them out exposed, then they will shrivel and not be wearable anymore. The part of the metzias of what happens to these lenses when they're used is described in an article in Or Yisra, Or HaShabbos, Volume Yud Zayin, by Rabbi Yonasan Siegler of Yerushalayim, who explains that there are three types of lichluch that potentially could adhere to a contact lens. One is a kind of dust that would adhere the same way to any regular glasses lens. And then beyond that, there are protein deposits that come from tears in the eye that adhere, as well as potentially fungus that adheres to the lens. So the dust particles only adhere to the surface of the lens, whereas the protein deposits and the fungus may enter the lens itself and not just stay on the surface. So what happens when you put the contact lens in some kind of solution? So he has here a couple letters from optometrists at the end of his article. So they write here, this is a Dr. Tony Frangone from Santa Ana, Frangione, Advanced Medical Optics, Santa Ana, California. Has his phone number at the bottom if you want to call him. So he writes that tear protein enters the contact lens interior, the matrix. Bacteria is bigger than proteins and doesn't easily enter into the lens matrix, but they can firmly attach themselves to the lens surface and slowly penetrate the interior of the lens over time. Product solution can easily pass in and out of the lens matrix. Some large molecular weight constituents in the solution may not be able to enter. So what happens when you put the lens in this solution, in an antimicrobial solution? So it's going to get rid of everything on the surface. What happens about things that are in the lens itself? So he writes, the cleaning agents for most contact lens multipurpose solutions usually work on lipids, oils, and general debris from the lens surface. Protein removal from the exterior and interior of the lens is usually accomplished by the ionic character of the solution. When a cationic component from the product solution attaches to the anionic side of the contact lens, then the proteins are forced off or out of the lens. But then he writes, what I just wrote is all hypothetical. This is what we speculate happens because we never actually did any research to determine whether anything is removed from the inside of the lens when using these cleaning agents. Okay, so with that, Akdama, I haven't said anything yet, yeah?
No, I mean, my question is, if it's on a microscopic level, why are you even much of any of this?
Good, okay. So,
they don't even know.
I'm sorry?
They don't even know what's going on.
They don't know. Good. Okay, so now let's explore what potential issues are at play over here. So first of all, the assumption, yeah?
Sorry, I'm assuming that the proteins are microscopic, but you said there's also like a fungus that could get...
Right, so that may not be microscopic, correct.
But then how does it get in if it's not microscopic?
That's a good point. So then, and then you're probably right, it is microscopic. Yeah, well, we're getting there. Okay. So the post can assume, for starters, that the whole discussion over here is only when it comes to soft lenses, not hard lenses. Hard lenses are presumably analogous to eights, which we said not only is not subject to Shriya Kibbutz, but isn't subject to Shif-Shif either. Our discussion over here is about soft lenses, and what do soft lenses, what would we compare soft lenses to? On the Kibbutz spectrum, are they analogous to a baguette, which would be subject to Shif-Shif? Are they which would be subject to Shriya? And then soaking it in a solution or potentially even in water could be problematic. Are they analogous to Or, where Shriya would be Mutter, but Shif-Shif would be Aser? Or are they analogous to AIDS, where even Shif-Shif would be Mutter? So the Nidon that we're talking about is putting it in a kind of a cleansing solution, which is meant not only to preserve and prevent shriveling, but also to positively clean. And also whether, if that is problematic, would putting it in a simple saline solution that preserves but doesn't clean be problematic as well? So in the analysis of Rabbi Rubin in the back of Orach HaShabbos, the Urim Simen Hey, he makes a number of assumptions, some of which are potentially challengeable. So number one, he assumes that you have no right to compare these soft contact lenses to leather, to ore. You have to assume that because they are porous and liquid gets in, and all evidence points to that they are porous and liquid does get in, and a significant amount of water can get in, that it's comparable to a baguette, and therefore subject to Liban, therefore subject even to Shrioso, Zehu, Kibuso. Because bottom line, they do absorb, and therefore you have to compare them to a baguette. Then he makes the following argument. Even if you were to assume that they're analogous to ore, it would still be usher to soak them in a solution that has cleaning agents in it. The whole heter of, or the whole exclusion of ore from Shriyuso, Zehu Kibuso, is where the only act going on is soaking in water. Soaking in water is not the classic effective form of cleansing. So when it comes to ore, which let's say is less porous, less absorbent, if you just soak it, That's not the primary mode of kibbutz in general, and therefore mutter for or. However, if you're going to put it in a cleansing solution that is dafka meant to clean, so that is ein lecha kibbutz gadol mizeh, and there's no dispensation of, or no exclusion of shriya even for begad or. So if you're to put a real begad or in a liquid, in water that has a cleansing solution in it, then that's going to be usur across the board. So that's an assumption. It may be debatable, but it's hard to definitively prove or disprove that assumption that he makes. And he writes that Rav Yashiv was maskim to that analysis, and he writes that Rav Vosner was as well. That even when it comes to a kli or, to soak it in a cleansing agent is going to be usur.
Would it be possible to take that a step further? The Mishnah that says that you're basically as dushriya and or, it kind of sounds like it's talking about where there is soa on the surface, but not necessarily that soa had been absorbed. So even, let's say somehow soa had gotten into the kli or, could you also make the argument that soaking it in even plain water in that case could be also?
I think our assumption is when it comes to or, there's a general categorical exclusion from shriya, because even though in every, there's going to be a spectrum of absorbance in or, there'll be a spectrum of absorbance in beged. And yet Chazal told you that or isn't subject to kibbutz. Arguably, irrespective of whether in this particular piece of or there may be a greater level of absorbance than others. So I think it's possible that even if your intention is for the cleansing shabbos, so then maybe there's a stronger argument that's going to be usur. But if you do it stab, even if there is something that's nivla, but it's or, if it's a kind of or not subject to shriya, that may still be mutter. Okay. And then the Orach HaShabbos, Rabbi Reuben, makes the following argument, or makes the following point, that he's assuming, based on his analysis and his chiddush, if you will, when it comes to using a cleansing agent, that whether or not you view soft contact lenses as beged or, even if you view it as or, it's still going to be usher to put in a cleaning solution, because that ein lecha libun or kibbutz gadol mizeh. But then he says, okay, what about putting it in saline solution, which doesn't have any cleansing agents? It's simply meant to preserve. It's not much different than putting it in water. So the intention is not to clean. The intention is simply to preserve. And if you wanted to clean something, you wouldn't be putting it in saline solution. Does that make it mutter? Or do we still say that that's a violation of Shriya Sozo Kibusa? Definitely if we view it as Baged. Less so if you view it as or. And then he says, maybe you'll say that we can bring into the picture over here the Shitas Hari. Shitas Hari, that we discussed previously, that there is no Isser of Shriya Sozo Kibusa when it comes to a Baged that is Nucky. Even though halacha lemaisa, we don't assume like three, we're machmir against it, but it's very arguable that mi'ikar din, the re is correct. Especially the Rush's understanding of the Shita Sari that we saw, that even if you have a baga that's somewhat blackened, but it's not super meluchlach, it's not stained, then maybe le'inyan zeh that's considered to be naki. So especially here, where the dirt that is being removed is not near la'ayin, so maybe even if you'll be machmir by a cleansing solution, you could be makel by a saline solution. So that's what Rabbi Reuben raises. And then he assumes that definitely the case is that you can't be mishavshif biyadayim. That to rub the lens with your hands and clean it through that would be shifshif. That's worse than shriya. That's definitely going to be usur. And then he quotes a Tshuva of Rav Eliashiv that was subsequently printed in Kovitz Tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simen Kaf Vav, Chelek Aleph Simen Kaf Vav, where Rav Eliashiv distinguishes, bottom line, between using a saline solution and using a cleansing solution, that a cleansing solution is going to be usher, a saline solution is going to be mutter. And he goes with this argument, or he endorses this argument, that there are more grounds to be makel on the saline solution to be mitzarif the shita sari, that in principle this is considered to be naki. And then he writes, that there's a makom to be matir, particularly meaning the hatter that he allows for in using a saline solution. So he says you should rinse the lenses before Shabbos. And then it sounds like he's saying there's going to be no real dirt that you're affecting by putting it in the saline solution on Shabbos. Though it's not so clear why you draw the line there. If you're going to wash it 3 o'clock Shabbos afternoon, then you're going to put it on before Shabbos when Lichbenchen is at 4, and they're going to take it off at 11 o'clock at night, so maybe there was accumulation over the last 6 hours. And if you're bothered by accumulation over one day, so why would that accumulation of over 6 hours necessarily make things any better? But that's what Rav Eliashiv writes, to be matir saline solution specifically, if you wash it before Shabbos, and then you can take it out and put it on the saline solution over Friday night. Yeah.
So the chiluk between saline and cleansing is based on the fact that contact lenses are aura, not beged. And then if that's the case, why is cleaning them before helpful at all to use a saline?
Why is it helpful at all to clean them before?
The saline is not cleaning it anyway.
No, so he's saying that we're adding into the mix over here that we're relying on some level of the re, that there's no kibus when it comes to something that is naki lagamri. So even if you'll view it as a beged, but you can be mitzarif that to be mekum. Okay. And Rabbi Bleich has a piece reprinted in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 5, where he notes the same issue with Rav Eliashiv. Why are you drawing the line over there that if you take it out and clean it before Shabbos, then you can put in the solution over Shabbos? So you're saying what? There's no lich lechanir la'ayin. But there probably is no lich lechanir la'ayin if you took it out a few hours earlier, had it on all day either. And Rabbi Bleich thinks that the way he presents it, is that the only real dirt of note, meaning that which is chadr bifnim, at best is microscopic. He said the only real lichluch of note is anything on the surface. Anything on the surface, that's the same thing as cleaning glasses, which Evan is matir, that's the same thing as the notzos that we saw the Ramah from the Ozerua, that it's not embedded, it's surface, and anything on the surface is not subject to libun. In the Sefer Minchas Ish, from Yeshaya Shapira, so he has an arichas in a long footnote at the end of Perek Yud Gimel, and he says a little bit more than that, along the same lines, that even if there is lichluch that gets into the lens, that shouldn't concern us. He says that it doesn't make sense to view a lens as a beged that would be subject to Sharia. You should view it as a kli. Why is it any different than a disposable kli? Let's say you made a kli out of leather, and you're going to wash the kli with soap. So let's say you have a leather cup, and there's dirt on the surface. Maybe a little dirt gets into the leather cup bifnim as well. But would anyone tell you that you're not allowed to wash the leather cup with soap on Shabbos? To the extent that there's any act of cleansing, it's only meant to address the surface lichluch, and that's not considered to be kibbutz. We view that as nikoi, not as kibbutz. No one would say that if you have a wooden table and you have some dirt on the table and you wipe it off with water, in a situation where there's no skita issue, no one would say that that's a violation of libun. That's just nikoi. Even if there's a little bit that's balua, that's not the focus, that's not what you're addressing, that's not what you're intending to clean out, and that is not subject to an isser of kibbutz or shriya.
Well, it's still cleaning out the stuff inside. So mm-hmm. It's just never shining with scabbing. Like, what would be the reason why they wouldn't factor in?
So his argument is, so let's talk about washing dishes. When you wash a dish on Shabbos, even if there's something, so the Davar Shein Miskaven alone isn't going to make something, it's not even a Davar Shein Miskaven. That's not an act of kibbutz. There's no, okay, so I guess maybe you'd have to say on some level it is Davar Shein Miskaven because objectively it is cleaning out that internal lichluch. Maybe. Okay. I think Rabbi Willig had some affinity for that perspective that this is considered a clean out of Beged, although that's not his main calculus in analyzing this issue, as we'll get to later on. The Sefer Ein Habedolach, the Halacha of Contact Lenses, written by Rabbi Moshe Kahn in Williamsburg, Tavshin Pei Beis. So we quoted this last year, we're doing Hilchos Nida, as far as contact lenses and Chatzitza, and last year, for those of us who were here, Usher, we noted that we thought his presentation of the Metzias, as far as Chatzitza went, didn't seem to be as on target. But his presentation of the Metzias, for our purposes, does seem to be on target. And he goes in a direction of trying to justify kulos, even though in the end he doesn't recommend be make a lock, stock, and barrel. But one of the points that he makes is that when it comes to a beged of or, if you're talking about whether to compare this to beged or to or. So when it comes to or, Chazal decided that or is not belay on the level that's going to subject a beged of or to shriya, even though in any particular beged of or, it may be more absorbent. He says, what would happen, if you took a beged of or and made holes in it such that there's more of an absorption in that beged, would you then argue that it no longer has a din of or, now it has a din of regular samar pishtim? He assumes no. So he says, over here, you have a plastic lens, so there are microscopic holes, but does the fact that you made microscopic holes now suddenly give it a din of a beged just because it's more absorbent? And then he says, maybe, even if you'll want to argue that a contact lens has a din of a beged, and even if you'll argue that we don't assume like the Ri, that there's a heter of shriya when it comes to a beged that's naki lagamri, a beged that's naki, but even so, the Avnei Nezer writes, kufnun tes os tes, and it was yud, that Evan would agree, even the Cholkim on the Ri would agree, that if you have a beged that's super naki, that is totally naki lagamri, that's not subject to an iser of shriya. So he says, if you have a contact lens, it's naki lagamri. Anyone who looks at it won't see any lichluch. He says, if you take out a contact lens from your eye that you're wearing today, you take out a contact lens from the box, and you put them next to each other, they're not going to look any different. He quotes from Rabbi Falk that if there doesn't seem to be any shinoi in the beged, then there's no iser melabin. He quotes that from the Alter Rebbe as well, that melabin is dependent on appearance. I was talking to Rabbi Wiederblank earlier, who said, is that really the case? Would you say that if you have a shirt that you wear for one day and you take it off and there's no visible lichluch at all, then that's going to be heter gamur b'shriya? It sounds like that's what he's saying from Rabbi Falk and the Alter Rebbe, that maybe in a chanami, if there's no apparent lichluch at all, based on this Avnei Nezer, naki lagamri, sounds like those we're saying that wouldn't be subject to an iser shriyaso zeo kibuso. The Orach HaShabbos had argued that even if right now it doesn't look like there's much in the way of lichluch, but if you don't clean it for a few days, and there will be visible lichluch. So then, even if there's no visible lichluch now, that shriya is addressing a real need for cleaning, and that's real kibbutz. And Rabbi Bleich was skeptical about that, mechatesi, that that's the case. Where does he get that from? Where does he get that from? I'm sorry?
Five times.
Right.
In 5 days from now, it'll be a lot dirtier than it is today.
Right. So if you wash it after, I think the pashtus, at that point at least, leaving aside this chiddush that the Ein Abedola quotes from the Alter Rebbe in Kuntres Acharon, if you wear it for one day, even if there's no visible lichluch, I think the pashtus would be that there is an iser kibbutz. If it just came out of the wash and nothing happened, if it just came out of the wash, So then Lomi by according to the Ri, that's going to be mutter, but even if you accept this Amnei Nezer, that's Naki Lagamri. But at what point is something no longer Naki Lagamri? Not sure. So he doesn't phrase in those terms, but he seems to be assuming that the fact that if you're cleaning it, and he says it like this, if you're cleaning it to avoid an accumulation of residue, then that's an act of kibbutz. That means that you're machshiv the residue that's there now, even if it's not near a lion. That's his argument. If you're cleaning it now to avoid the buildup of residue over time, then that itself is an act of kibbutz, even though what you're addressing now is not near a lion. Rabbi Bleich finds that non-compelling.
Is this the same machlokas Rabbi Bleich or Chabad that was quoting before in terms of the being shored the lenses on Erev Shabbos? This is another machlokas in terms of the accumulation libun, or is the same point?
It's a related point. It's a different formulation of the same basic point. Shmir Shabbos Golchasa doesn't address contact lenses mitzad kibbutz. He does address it mitzad ma'abed, which maybe we'll touch on when we get to ma'abed, if we do. Paritas Vav Sif Pei Gimel. So he's makel mitzad ma'abed. He doesn't address the Shriya kibbutz issue. And Nishmas Avram, quotes from Shlomo Zalman and Simon Shin Kaf Aleph, that Shlomo Zalman was makel mitzad tikkun mana. So neither of those citations address Malabain, but I'm assuming that if Rav Shlomo Zalman had a Malabain issue, he probably would have told Nishmas Avram about that also. Nishmas Avram only addresses it mitzad tikkun mana. The Torah HaMelachos, Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Membeis, Chela Gimel Simon Kuf Membeis, he writes that he heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman that Rav Shlomo Zalman was makel on soaking contact lenses, presumably even in cleansing solution, but he doesn't really explain there the parameters. And in this article we quoted from Or HaShabbos, Chelek Yud Zayin, he has a one-line tshuva from Sternbach, in which Sternbach says mutter, but again he doesn't explain the parameters of his mutter. And the Minchas Ish that we quoted before, he quotes that even though Rav Vosner in the printed tshuva that's printed first in the Orcha Shabbos is machmir, but later on he writes that Rav Vosner was mekel. Sounds like he's saying even in regular cleansing solution, not just saline. Now, if you look around the internet, you'll probably find representations that if you put lenses in saline solution, then there's a potential risk of infection. And therefore, it's not advisable to put lenses in saline solution. Rabbi Sobolovsky told me that Dr. Roth, who was the co-author with Rabbi Bonder of his Refuah B'Shabbos book, and I think in the Chatzitza book also, who also has a letter to the author, the Ein HaBedolach, printed at the end of his sefer. He was a retinal surgeon, or here it says, clinical professor, Department of Ophthalmology at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. I think it was an alumnus of definitely Mar Shakola, maybe Yeshiva also, I don't remember. So he told Rabbi Sobolovsky that if you put it in a saline solution once a week, there's nothing to worry about. If you did it every night, so maybe there's a risk of infection. If you do it once a week, that is okay.
Meaning to say that the rest of the week you're putting it in cleaning.
The rest of the week you're putting in cleaning solution, and only on Shabbos you're putting in a saline solution, so Dr. Roth didn't think that there's any real risk of infection. B'chi Hai Gafner. Rav Schechter is machmir not to put it even in water. Rabbi Willig, in principle, would probably be or maybe prepared to be makel even in cleansing solution, but practically thinks that you should put it in saline solution and not in cleansing solution. Rabbi Willig got a consideration also of maybe safek psik reishei, because you're only clearly addressing the surface lichluch, which is mutter, and as to whether the cleansing solution removes any of the internal lichluch anyway, that even the mumchim can't tell you. So maybe that makes it a safek psik reishei that could be mutter. In the summary that the Ein HaBedolah has of the shitas on this matter as relate to Liban, so he quotes the Machmirim not to use a cleansing solution, Rav Yashiv. He quotes Rav Vosner, although we just saw from the later representation that maybe Rav Vosner was closer. He quotes Nishma Shabbos, Rabbi Harfinus is being Machmir. Das HaMakilim. Makilim, even to use cleansing solution. So, Rav Sternberg, like we saw that one line representation in Or Shabbos. Rabbi Falk in his Zachar V'Shamor. David Feinstein quoted in V'Dibarta Bam Simon Ayin Vav, who quotes that his understanding of Ramosha was that Ramosha would have allowed putting it in cleansing solution. It's not, we don't view the contact lens as a baged. So his bottom line, Ein HaBedolah, is best is whatever another room does to only wear daily contacts. Then you avoid all the shilas. But he thinks there is what to be makel about if you need to. Again, it sounds like even though there are arguably compelling reasons to be matir, even a cleansing solution, but it doesn't sound like the risk of using saline solution is significant or maybe non-existent, and therefore using saline solution seems like a reasonable option if you need to wear lenses and there's no other way out. But what happens if you wear the daily? So let's say you take a nap in the middle of the day. You keep it in or you take them out? You're not supposed to take them out? So when you take a nap on Shabbos afternoon, what do you do? What are you supposed to do?
The eye doctor gives you those things.
Right.
So you can put them in as long as you put them in on the same day. They have a 24-hour use span.
I'm saying, but if you have the daily and you take it out to take a nap, what do you put it in when you take it out? In solution?
In the plastic thing with solution, yeah.
So even if you wear daily, it doesn't. You're not out of the woods if you're going to take a nap. So then you have to be machmir not take a nap.
Or
Megal. Or just put
them in like
the first time of the day, like after the shower, something like that. You can do that too.
Okay.
Right. So I guess that's the truth. That meaning you don't, even if you're going to daily, if you're going to take a nap, then it doesn't solve all your problems. Yeah.
Wouldn't there also be a problem with sleep? Let's say when you touch them, some of the solution comes out.
I don't think that's really schita. Are you?
That's part of the
problem. I don't know.
I'm sorry? Are you? I'm sorry?
Let's say when I.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you applying any pressure?
Yeah. You're fine. Take it out.
But what? You say when you take it out of your eye, what are you concerned about? What are you being soaked?
I mean, they're wet, so
They're wet from the fluid of your in your eye.
Or let's say when you're like pushing down to get it out of the cup.
You're talking about when you're putting it in your eye or taking it out of your eye?
Both.
So when you take it out of the solution, you're not really applying pressure. You're removing, you're not applying pressure there, right?
Sometimes you're trying to get it out, so you move it against the wall.
The difference is it's going to submerge, or is that not a difference?
I'm sorry?
Is there speeds on something that's submerged?
It could be. But I don't know if that's really enough pressure to be a problem.
If you think about it, for at least for leave-in purposes, if you have, let's say, a dirty shirt that's immersed in a bucket of clean water, you would squeeze it to get out the liquid. So it would make sense from a leave-in perspective, maybe not from a fire perspective.
Okay.
All these issues are only the act of putting it in a solution.
Yeah, because I don't think there's really a skita problem, and I don't think that's called shriya. Just if you happen to push it a drop inside the solution as you're taking it out, I don't think that's shriya. So, in theory, if you wanted to wear glasses Friday night and put your contacts in the solution before Shabbos begins, and then remove it Shabbos morning to put it on, that should probably be fine. Yeah. I don't wear contacts. I told my son it's probably better to avoid the shayla. So, meaning if there's a compelling reason to wear contacts, so then it sounds like most poskim are okay with at least with saline solution. My son doesn't wear contacts every day anyway, so it's. Not such a big deal.
Yeah, but nice if you have like a daily, which it's obviously totally clean.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a saline solution before a nap.
Right.
So there's like a lot from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And would you say, but you wouldn't say it's a chachila?
Would I say that's the chachila? I'm not. I presented the shitas. Okay. I guess those of you that wear contacts don't wear them every day either, because you wear glasses now. Does anyone wear contacts exclusively? I guess not.
I feel like it's impossible.
Why?
Because like there's just a point where either you're gonna it like hurts your eyes or.
No, aren't there people that wear contacts every day?
Yeah, I used to.
I think so.
Yeah. Did it start hurting your eyes?
We'll talk after.
Started crying too much.
Okay. So let's move on now to Cholev, and we'll try to do this relatively briefly. Tzadi Heyim and Aleph, the Gemara tells us that Cholev is Chayev Mishum Mefarik. So, Muska Rishon, we'd assume, oh, Mefarik, we know that, that's Tolad Adadash. That's what Rashi begins with over here, Mefarik, Mefarik Masi Sheparik Ochel Mimakam She Niskasabo, Havi told us Dash. And then he puts a Yesh Omrim that he rejects, that it's a Tolada of Kotzer. Tosus is bothered here, Dear Maskal Cholev, how could it be a Tolada of Dash, Ein Disha Ela B'Gedulei Karka, and a cow doesn't grow on trees. Cows don't grow on trees. So Tosus says, it must be that Argama is going like Rebbe Huda, who argues that Yesh Disha Shelo Vigidule Karka. But in a Hanami, if you hold Ein Disha Vigidule Karka, then you couldn't argue that Cholev is Mishum Mefarek Tolada Didash. Tosfos on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Dibra Maskel Mefarek, is less comfortable saying that the Brice on Sadi Hey is a Liba de Rebbe Huda. And that's where Rebbeinu Tam is of the opinion that Cholev is not an issue of Mefarek of Dash, it's an issue of Memachik. But Tosfos doesn't like that either. At least the Reed doesn't like that either, because if that's the case, that it's a mamachik issue, then what's the chiluk that the Gemara has in Kufim Dalet and Mebeis? We saw earlier the chiluk between Latocha Kedeo and Latocha Ka'ara in the context of Schitas Peiros. But the next line in the Gemara has the same chiluk between Tocha Kedeo and Tocha Ka'ara in the context of Chaliva. That you're allowed to be cholev into, we'll talk in a few moments when this is applicable, but you're allowed to be cholev into food, but not into an empty kli. So if chaliv is a function of dash, is mefarek of dash, so then I understand. Just so we have that chiluk when it comes to schita, we have that chiluk when it comes to schita peros, we have that chiluk when it comes to chaliv. If it's a memachik issue, so what's the svar lechali between tochuk deir, tochuk ara, as far as memachik? Yossi.
In the lashon of Rabbeinu Tam, that the mefarek chayim is memachik.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't. There's no conceivable way to say that he would mean all types of mefarek, right? It would just be this mefarek the chalipa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But this problem of how to resolve. So then Tosa says. So then you have to say that we assume like Rabbi Huda. That yesh di shishol v'gidulei karka, and then you're back to explaining that mefarek is a mefarek adash. But this problem was to drive some of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, to assume that cholev is only an issur de rabbana. That in a chanami, in a Torah, it doesn't really fit into mefarek tolad adash because it's shishol v'gidulei karka. So they think it's only an issur de rabbana. And Tosis in Ksubis, Samach Hamad Aleph Yom Asal Mefarek, Tosis there assumes that a behema is Gedule Karka. Gedule Karka doesn't mean it grows on trees. It means it gets its sustenance from the ground. So an animal, a cow eats grass grows on the ground, so that could make it Gedule Karka. That's what the Magen Mishnah says, Bidasa Rambam as well. The Rambam has in Perek Ches Halacha Zayin. Hadash kegrogis is chayy ve'ein dish elam gedulei karka hamefarek are you told us hadash v'choli v'sebehe mechayy mishem mefarek. And then just to know because it's here, the Rambam also thinks that chavol is mishem mefarek. We'll probably talk about Chavala when we get to Shkita because more Rishonim hold that that Chovel is a Shkita derivative than a Mefarek derivative, be that as it may. But the Rabbi here says, Ein di she'ele gedule karka, and yet, HaCholei v'sa behema is chayiv mishum Mefarek. So the Magen Mishnah quotes in the Ramach, quotes it as a kash in the Rambam, Lo ivanti divrei Rambam, how can you say both at the same time? But the Magen Mishnah says, no, Pshat the Rambam is that an animal is considered gedulei karka because it gets its sustenance from the ground. So behema chayiv of are considered gedulei karka. Aaron.
Didn't the Tosfos in Ksubis hold the same as the other Tosfos in Shabbos that that the behema is not gedulei karka? And then the Tosfos said that the reason why... that the reason why the Gemara Ksubis invoked Tzar and Shinoi is so that it would work even according to Rebbe Yehuda, that
yeah, but I think then Tosos ends up saying that the end of the day Behem is Gedulei Karka. No? We'll look back. I think that's how Tosos ends up over there. Okay. And then we also, there is a tshuva of Rebbe Ram ben Oshel Rambam, which is printed in the Shvisas HaShabbos, and the Shvisas HaShabbos is Hagdama, where he writes that Disha, Ein Disha El Bidulei Karka is only for the Av, but not for the Talad. So that also explained the Rambam. that ein disha shelo begedil lekarik is only for the av and not for the talada. Talada can exist even shelo begedil lekarik. Yeah.
But I mean, the case by
Tilazon
was mafarik
to the talada,
right? Right. So then the Gemara there says,
"Has
that
machlokas
about
Dishbu Dulikarka?" Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have to look back. I haven't seen this Rav Raman Usher Rabban aside in a while, so I have to look back. But good, all right. I have to look back. Okay, or you can look back too. Fine. Then just around the picture, the Shvisas HaShavis presents, I think, 7 Shitas and Rishonim where Chaliva falls. So we just saw so far Rashi and Rav Rishonim that it's the standard Mefarik Dash. The Rashi rejects the opinion that it's Kotzer. We have the possibility there being a time that it's Memachek. And you have the Ramban and the Rashba that it's only in Yisrael Derabban. So Shvisas HaShabbos adds to that. There's a Yerayim that is Tochein. There's a Sheet Mekabetzas in Subis that it's Gozes. And the different version of being a time of the Rashba has it as Boer. Okay. Now, that Gemara on Kuf Mem Daled Amud Beis that we referenced a few moments ago, that's Mechalek between the Choliv Eiz, Letoch HaKadera, and Letoch HaKa'ara. Tosus writes, Nir Le'Bein Atam, the Hainu Dafka B'Yantiv. That Chiluk is only operative on Yantiv. D'Chazya Behema L'Achila. Because then an animal is Ray L'Achila, you could shaft it. Havi Kama Uchla D'Ifris. So then you have a heter of ochel letoch ochel. Ava b'shabes lo chazi l'shkita, k'mo dash kashiva, shebehema hi k'psoles, u'kishecholiv have a kenotel ochel mito psoles. But that won't apply to Shabbos, where you have no right to argue that the animal is ochel. You can't shaft an animal on Shabbos. And therefore, there's no heter of letoch ha ka'ara on, sorry, letoch ha kadera on Shabbos. So says Rabbeinu Tam, and that seems to be how we assume l'halacha, because the Mechaber only quotes this din in Hilchos Yontif and not Hilchos Shabbos. Simen Tav Kuf Hei. The Mechaber quotes this din that there's a heter of milking l'toch ha-kedera into food on Yontif, but there's no such heter in Hilchos Shabbos. Not all the Rishonim agree to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rashba, for example, there's a Balamor and a Ramban here, the Rashba and the Ritva, the Rashba, Kufim Dalet and Mabez, writes, nope, he disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and assumes, he quotes, Gedoli Achronim and Mixas HaRishonim, who disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, and assume that the Heter applies on Shabbos also. What about Rabbeinu Tam's argument that on Shabbos, the animal isn't ochel because you can't shecht an animal on Shabbos. So the Rashba says, that's Ar Yehuda Revi Olei. Fundamentally, it's ochel. There's just a external mania that prevents you from shechting it because of the Yisr Malacha. But definitionally, the animal is still considered ochel, and therefore the heter of Letocha Ochel applies even on Shabbos. Rambam Periches Halacha Yud, even though we don't accept, the Rambam doesn't accept the heter of Letocha Ochel, but the Rambam writes, Letocha Ochel is only Aser Midrabanan, and we'll see in a few moments, this is critical Lahalacha, that the Rambam knocks down the Iser of Letocha Ochel to only an Iser de Rabbanan. Why is that critical Lahalacha? So the Rush writes in Perek Yudches Seif Gimel, that if you have an animal, a cow that needs to be milked on Shabbos because it's in pain, if you're not going to milk it all Shabbos, since Sar Bali Chaim is the rice of the Rush holds, so that's going to be Doche Oshvus of Amir Lenachri, and therefore you can have a Nachri milk your cow on Shabbos to avoid Sar Bali Chaim. even though chaliv itself is going to be an iser daraisa. If Nachri does it, then acts it down to a derabanan. Sar bali chayim is daraisa. So b'malkum sar bali chayim, you're allowed to instruct a Nachri to milk a cow on Shabbos. The Korban Nisano writes over there, Osayin, sounds like from the Rush, that where there's a heter of having the Nachri milk a cow for you on Shabbos, then it's even mutter for the Yisrael to use that milk. Once it's milked beheter, the heter of Tzar Bali Chayim, the Yisrael could use the milk. The Yisrael writes that it's still going to be usher because of mashing shezavu, that you can't use it on Shabbos. But that's the comment of the Korban Nisano. Mechaber writes in Simen Shin Hei Se'if Kaf, Shin Hei Kaf, Mutter Lomer Le'inu Yehudi Lachlo Behemto B'Shabbos Mishim Tzar Bali Chayim, Shachalav Mitzara, V'yachalav Asir Bo Bayo. So it's a real Tzar Bali Chayim. You could tell a Nachri milk the cow on Shabbos, but you can't use the milk on Shabbos because that's Mashin Shazavu. V'yesh omrim, shetzarech liknoso min ha'eno yehudi b'davar mu'ad shelo yenir kachol v'tzarech Shabbos. So v'yesh omrim, that if you're going to use the milk, so you should have some kind of a contractual agreement there, some kinyan, so that it doesn't look like you're having the Nachri milk the cow for you on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berura, Sifkatan Ayin Gimel, Sfir Lahu this Yesh Omrim, Damir Lachlov Lahutr Klau, Kiyam Mishenu Yehudi, Cholu Vitzarach Atzmo, Vayisol Konach Shabbos, Yemenim Dover Mu'at. Olam Nokin Kasvar Rishona, you could tell him the Hedya, Di Mishim Sar Bali Chayim, Amir Lenachri Lachlov, Bein Lein Yehudi Minashuk, Bein La Shvachos, Shiniskaris, Achol Shana Lamachto, even your domestic help is Mutter, Ein Limchus B'Yadam, Mikol Makom, Tov Sheyachlov, Ein Yehudi, Lesoch Ochel, Dabal Eishvus Eishvus. But the Mishnah Berurah says, according to the Magen Avraham, yeah, it's mutter to tell the Nachri. So the Rosh says that if you tell the Nachri, that's a Chad Rabbanan, B'malkum Tzar Ba'al Chaim D'Raisa. Mishnah Berurah says, even better, tell the Nachri to do it L'Tocha Ochel. So that's the Rambam that we just saw, that L'Tocha Ochel is only Aser Mid Rabbanan. So now you're Marviach, that it's a Shvus to Shvus, B'malkum Tzar Ba'al Chaim. You're telling the Nachri to do the Malacha Chad Rabbanan. He's doing L'Tocha Ochel Trader Rabbanan, Shvus to Shvus, B'makom Tzar Ba'alei Chayim.
Yeah. The Rambam distinction of the Rabbanan is only regards to Chaliva?
Is only regards to Chaliva. Like, what do you mean, as opposed to?
Like, Tzchikas Peiros L'Tocha Ochel.
That's Hetzer Gomer.
Right, so this is what I'm saying. The
yeah, when it comes to Chaliva, correct. So
sorry, didn't we say that the only
heter
to do
chaliva
is
the sotokal? So the Gemara says there's a heter to ochel. According to Rabbeinu Tam and Lalacha, that's only on Yontif, not on Shabbos. The minority opinion of Rishonim even on Shabbos. The Rambam says on Shabbos it's only Aser Midi Rabbana. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Technically speaking, you can tell a Nachri to do even a Lalacha Daraisa for Tzar Bali Chaim. But better off, knock it down to the Rabbanan because the Tocha Ochel is only Aser Midi Rabbanan.
So what,
yeah.
What's the other
Durban
outside L'Tocha
Ochel? Amir L'Nachri. So Amir L'Nachri on a L'Tocha Ochel, no.
So the Mayu came to the Rambam then, because he doesn't bring this halakha in the Chos Yantiv, and it's only L'Chos Shabbos. So unless he read the Gemara as own Kavad Daraisa, then he kind of figured out his own Issa Durbanon.
Again?
The Rambam doesn't bring, I think the Magen Mishnah said, the Rambam doesn't bring this halakha in the Chos Yantiv. So
right.
Therefore, how does he read the Gemara? The Gemara says, Mutar Adam Lachlov L'Toch.
Did the Rambam think that there was another Issa D'Rabbanan not mentioned in the Gemara somehow? Yeah, the Magen Mishnah leaves out the Tzarichin on the Rambam, so that requires a Yishuv, but it could be. I don't know. It requires a yishuv. Okay, so halacha lemaisa lemaisa, Shmir Shabbos writes in Parakav Zayin, Sif Mem Ches. Asur lachlo b'yom b'Shabbos, afilu lachlo osa ba'ofen shachalav yizro ma'yashar l'toch ochel. So there's no heter l'toch ochel, even no heter l'toch ochel on Shabbos. V'yitiru lachlo v'ayidei nachri mishum sar bali chayim. V'zoi adarach ha'betucha v'yoser limanim b'chil Shabbos. So the easiest way, if you have a farm in Eretz Yisrael with milking with cows, so the easiest way to get out of any chashash malach on Shabbos is to have Nachrim do the milking. See, so he has a lengthy discussion in the footnote here about some of the details. Most of that pertains more to muksa than to chaliva per se. Can you use even an empty kli? Can you then carry the milk afterwards? So he quotes Chazanish was mekel on that, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it's not a basis of davar aser. It was not a basis if your kavana was to move it on Shabbos. Maybe move it together with the davar het or whatever the details are in Hilchas Muksa. But the bottom line is that the muksa issues, that the optimal solution is to have nachrim, and then the muksa issues are workable. There's a famous tshuva of Chaim Ozer, Chelek Gimel Simen Lamedalid Os Beis. Chelek Gimel Simen Lamedalid Os Beis. He's responding to a letter noting that there are many Shomrei Torah mitzvos on the Moshavim in Eretz Yisrael that were milking cows on Shabbos themselves. Some of them, the Issei D'Rabbanan, meaning L'toch Ochel. Some of them, even now L'toch Ochel and Issei D'Raisa. So he writes, Be'emes Mafiel Adavar, it's frightening that this is going on in Eretz Yisrael. And he heard, when he heard that people were doing this because they thought they had some heter, he wrote quickly to Rav Kook. And he writes that these are the people that think that Avodah Ivrit Docha Shabbat. So he writes, there's no heter for this. B'shas ha'chagodol, if there are no nachrim, then maybe there's what to talk about. Tavakaton, l'tocha ochel, b'makom sar bali chayim. And then the Rav Kook writes about this as well, that there's no basis for any heter of doing it al yidei Yisrael. Orach Mishpat, Orach Chaim, Simen, Samech Dalid. He said, maybe if there are people that are Choliv El Gabe Karka, so it's not a Melacha D'Raisa, maybe you could look the other way. Then back to Shmir Shabbos, he says, what if there's no Nachri? If there's no Nachri, then B'makom Sar Bali Chayim, you could be Choliv Le'ibud, be Choliv into a Kli Ma'us, where it's not going to be drinkable. Of course, the Chazon Ish, that there's some posts and that's not considered to be a malacha. That's what Rav Kook wrote, B'shas HaGadol, you can rely on that. But definitely not L'toch HaKli. And then, as if none, if you have an automated system on a Shabbos clock where the machine is doing the milking, So you could use that. The otters to be connected when the machine's off. And then another lengthy footnote about the details of how to have an automated milk parlor run on Shabbos with a Shabbos clock.
Wouldn't the udders being connected all Shabbos be tzaralikhaim?
It would be, so that's not, you can't do that.
Well, you said that the udders should be connected even when the machine is off, and this is talking about on Shabbos, so like whether...
No, so it's on a timer, so then you connect it before the timer goes on.
And you're able to do that connection on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's better to connect it when the machine's off than when the machine's on. So you do it before the timer goes on. Okay. Then, finally, Shin Lamed Sif Ches. Shin Lamed Sif Ches. The Mechaber writes, Nola Lishmona Osavik Ben Shiva Ben Shmona Shalagam Osavitzi Parnos. So you have a Suffolk Nefel. Asul Taltalo, but the mother can nurse because there's tsar to not nurse. V'chein hi ba'atzmi yichol lohotzi biyada chalav hamitza'er osa. Says the Mishabur Lamibes, ala aretz, that if a woman needs to nurse because it's painful, but there's no baby to nurse, she can extract onto the ground. That's not mefar because that's holich li'ibut. Malacha shenu svichel gufa. The pater mishim tsar lo gazru kamo mapis morsa. So that's, yeah.
You ask that chaliva is mefarik, and then we're saying that humans are also midi lekarko?
Correct. So, Shmir Shabbos writes, Halacha Lamaisa, Perek Lamed Vav, Se'if Kaf Aleph. If you have a nursing woman that has excess milk, which is painful, and she can't nurse at that moment, the baby isn't in a position to nurse, so you can extract the milk into the sink, onto the ground, into a klip hagum, in such a way that it's holeich li'ibud. If you need to use a electric pump, you can put that on a timer and use it when it's on Shabbos as well. Okay, that concludes our unit on Dash with all the derivatives and our lengthy segue into Malabdain. And now we move on to Zohar. Has everyone finished the Zohar Marmor Kumbas ready? Yep? Yeah? No? No? Yes? You started Bohar?
Yeah.
How far into Bohar are you?
Well, we finished the Dhamma, then we jumped around a little bit in the Mephora, but mostly just on the Dhamma.
Okay. So, with your permission, then, we just take 10 minutes and start Zohar? Is that a no? Okay. Fine. So just in the interest of trying to minimize the gap between where you're holding and where the shiurim are, let's just begin. I'm sorry? I didn't turn it off. No. So let's just start a little bit. There's not much to talk about in Zohar, but let's just start, and then we'll, Mirza Hashem, finish that next time and begin Borer next time as well. So Zohar is winnowing. Has anyone ever winnowed before? Not one of our favorite pastimes, but winnowing has something to do with putting the wheat kernels in the wind in such a way that the chaff is separated from the ochel. So you're separating the undesirable part from the desirable part through the action of the wind. There is a line in Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Chananel writes that the act of Zohar doesn't require wind. Even Beruach Piv is Zohar as well. If you blow something and that causes the separating of the kernels from the chaff, wheat from the chaff, that's a violation of Zora as well. Supposed to Rashi on the Mishnah, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, Rashi writes a Zora Berachas Leruach. Rachas is the kli that you use to winnow, and you winnow with this kli by throwing the wheat into the wind. So Rashi there says, Dafka wind. Okay, that we'll come back to. The Gemara has on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merake. Borer, Zora, Merake are all one and the same. So, Gemara is presenting that is, why are they three different melachos? Five Robert, Amri Tavayu, Kamilsa, Dhavi, Bimishkan, Afagavdika, Dhamila, Chashivla, fine. So what is the meaning of this Tzara Shava? Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakid. So the Igle Tal, Zora Simen Gimel Os Aleph, Zora Simen Gimel Os Aleph, points to a comment of the Rabbeinu Chananel on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Borer notel psolus in bena ochel mashlicha o notel ochel maniach psolus. The act of borer is that you're taking the ochel and throwing out, you're taking the psolus and throwing it out, or taking the ochel and leaving the psolus. Merakid shematel es ochel v'psolus bikvara. That merakid is that you're using a sieve, a sieve. V'nisharas ha'ochel. And zora is where you use the ruach. So says the Igle Tal, that what you see from the Menuch Hananel is that the difference between Zora Bor Merakid is a difference in Echus HaPoel, the quality of the one doing the Malacha. So are you doing the Malacha with the wind? Are you doing the Malacha with the Kli? Are you doing the Malacha with your hand? That's the difference between Zora Bor Merakid.
Isn't that the difference between Ah and Tola? That the Ula is different?
That what?
The Ula is different.
So we saw such a Magen Mishnah that makes that suggestion, right? In the difference between Av and Atolda. That's not necessarily universal. But that's, the Igle Tal says, in the Rebbeinu Chananel, Rebbeinu Chananel is saying that's the difference between these three Malachas, Stephen.
Isn't Borer and Rakid with using Kli? And also, isn't Borer only Solas with
Ochel,
not
Ochel with Solas? Not necessarily, and no. Meaning, Borer, we'll have to get to Boer, but it could be that there are instances of Boer in both. And whether Boer could be Bekli, maybe that's the Bechlokas we showed him. So right now, we're just looking at the Rebbeinu Chananel.
The Rebbeinu Chananel says that Boer is only the
Ad. Correct.
What do you think? And he also says it could be either Ochel or Tolos.
In that line about Boer, that may be true in any event, that there could be instances in which it's Boer in both directions, but we'll have to get that we get to Boer. Yeah.
But he says the difference is Biyad, Bekli, and Ruach.
That's how the Igle Tal presents the Rebbeinu Chananel.
Sorry.
Regarding that Magen Mishnah, what Magen Mishnah is saying is that in the case where you already have an Av, you know, this is how to determine what a total of that Av would be. Here we have...
Right.
Right, we have three actions which are already in the Mishkan,
mm-hmm.
Right? So this is just separating those actions from each other. Whereas by the Av and the Tola one's in the Mishkan, the Av is in the Mishkan. So
okay.
The Magen Mishnah would agree that if the Tola is also in the Mishkan, it would mm-hmm. be a separate Av.
Could be. Okay, good. Okay, so the Igle Tal says that according to Ben Chananel, the difference between Zohar Bar Merakid is Be'echus HaPoel. And then he points out that Rashi sounds otherwise. Rashi on Ayin Heyam and Beis. Rashi on Ayin Hey Amud Beis. You have the last Rashi before the Mishnah. Harehu oreg. The Gemara said the Mishnah has 39 malachos, arba chazarachas. Rabbi Yehuda had a different calculation. He had shove medakdek, and the Chachamim disagree. Shove is b'chalal mesach, medakdek is b'chalal oreg. Says Rashi, orehu oreg, dehainu oreg mamish. Velodami lezoer boer umarakeid, dezeb kashin zeb tzroa zeb kamach. So Rashi says, why is it that medakdek and oreg are similar and they're not listed separately? Boers are merakid are similar, they are listed separately. So the difference is that boer merakid are different enough. Why? Zeb kashin, zeb tzroa, zeb kamach. One of them is with flour. That's merakid. One of them is with the kashin, the bad part of the wheat, that's zorer. And one of them is with tzroros, that's boer. So says the Iglei Tal, you've seen Rashi, what's critical in the distinction between these malachas is not eichus ha-poel, but eichus ha-nifal. What is the malacha affecting? Is it affecting kashin? Is it affecting tzroros? Is it affecting kamach? And if that's the case, says Iglei Tal, it could be that minimizes the significance of ruach. That according to Rabbeinu Chananel, what's critical in defining these malachos is it ruach, is it yad, is it kli? According to Rashi, that's not critical. So maybe the role of ruach is less significant. So if I do an act of zora, of separating the kashin, the chaff from the wheat, so maybe that's going to be usur, even if I do it. Maybe that'll be a malacha, even if I do it b'kli. He says, that's mefurish in the Meiri, ayin gimel and aleph, hazore, ratzalomar berachas, luruach, o bekvarash in a kaveh gasim. You can do zora by throwing it into the wind. You can do zora with a strainer. The Shvisa Sashabis, in his Hakdama to Zorah, to Zorba or Merakeid, he points out a Shita Laran, Ayin Gimla Medbeiz, Dibe Maskel Tana Hazareya, Ayin Gimla Medbeiz, Dibe Maskel Tana Hazareya, who quotes a Ra'ah, says, why is it sometimes we say that there are multiple Malachas Ke'ed Malacha Achas, that are not listed separately. And Zohar Bar Merakid are listed separately. So he says, the Hasam Shlosht, quoting from the Ra'ah, the Hasam Shlosht on Srichim B'davar Echad. Aval Kan, Hecha de Isa Lahai, Lesa Lahai. Fukulan Inyan Natiyav Izriyahin. Okay, let's come back to this next time. I'm going to clarify something further before we go on. So we'll stop here. Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll pick up, take a look if you haven't yet, at the Machlokas Rashi and Rush, Bava Kama Daf Samach, about Melachas Machsheves when it comes to Zohra. We'll talk about aerosol sprays and whether there's a Zohra application of that, and then move on, Mirtz Hashem, next time to begin the Melacha Borer.